Well, good evening to you. Glad you are here. I'm going to get into the Word. I'm going to preach tonight a message on faith. I used to do a lot of messages on faith. In fact, I'd ask people, guess what my message is on next week? This is in the church in Algoma. And if they said faith, they probably got it right more than 50% of the time. It's just one of those things. It's part of what I think is important in the Christian life. So it's about faith tonight. We're going to start with a scripture out of Matthew 9:29. And this, of course, this is a very faith-filled story. We're going to look at some more aspects of it, but I just want to start with this scripture. Verse 29 says, "Then he," this is Jesus, "then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you." Now, these men were blind, the men that Jesus is talking to. They're blind, but their faith was not blind. It's a profound revelation to learn the Christian life is the faith life. It's not just about learning the Bible. It's not just about learning how to live a good life, a healthy life, getting along with others well. No, it's a faith life. It's a revelation that comes by the Spirit. And really, not everyone has received that revelation. If you look through the scriptures, Christianity is never called Christianity in the Bible. Try and find it. But more than 30 times, it is simply referred to as the faith. The faith. And more than any other factor, I believe, the quality of our life as a believer is determined by the quality of our faith. Think about that. It's not the quality of your life is not determined by your gender. It's not determined by your race. It's not determined by your economic status. I believe this. The quality of your life, more than anything else, is determined by our faith. And when we're struggling through life's trials and tribulations, it's our faith that makes the greatest difference. Proverbs 24:10 says, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." I like that. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Fulfilling the hopes and the aspirations of the life that God has appointed for us, the life, in fact, that we dream about living, is largely determined by the strength and the consistency and the condition of our faith. I tell you, we can't substitute anything else for faith. You know, you can say, well, my faith is kind of weak, but I have so many other good qualities. You can't substitute anything else for faith. Wisdom is no substitute for faith. I mean, wisdom is important. Wisdom is valid. The Bible instructs us to get wisdom. Wisdom will do a lot. Wisdom will make your life abundantly better, but wisdom will not produce one miracle. Love is no substitute for faith. Love is the pinnacle of Christian development. Love is the prevailing quality and unmistakable mark of the work of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We love love, don't we? You should love love. Love motivates us in every aspect of our Christian life, but it is no substitute for faith. Even the compassion of Jesus is no substitute for faith. Let me show you what I'm talking about. In Mark 9, going from Matthew 9 to Mark 9, and I'll begin reading in verse 21. In Mark 9, you'll remember this story, another pivotal story in the scriptures, where the disciples were called upon by a man to heal their son, to cast out demons from their son, and they did not have any success. And so this father came to Jesus, and Jesus asked this father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Now, we often have this misconception that God is going to respond to our great need. God is all-knowing, and he sees the great needs that we have in our life, and that's what's going to move him. That's what's going to motivate him. But I tell you this, the variable factor is never God's will or his ability or even his compassion. The variable factor is our faith. We know God has all power. Can I get an amen? Amen. We know he has infinite compassion. But that's not the issue. The issue is, will we believe? And that's what he asked. See, what Jesus did was to tell us that all things are possible for those who believe. Verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible. So do you have something that you're believing for? Do you have some dreams? I've got dreams. I've got big dreams. Before we can succeed and even go beyond our wildest dreams, I tell you, we've got to have some wild dreams. So I hope you're a dreamer, dreaming beyond what your natural ability and what your natural tendencies are. Dreaming because we have a God of possibilities, not a God who is hindered by limitations. We live in a time, I tell you, of great challenges and great opportunities for believers, for the church. I tell you, this is no ordinary time. There are great challenges because the devil has great wrath. The Bible says because he knows his time is short. 2 Timothy 3:1 tells us there will be terrible times in the last days. In many ways, I'm telling you, these are dangerous times. It's a dangerous time to be lukewarm. It's a dangerous time to be half-hearted. It's a dangerous time to not be in a good, spirit-filled church. I wouldn't want to live in these days and be in a not spirit-filled church. It's a dangerous time to go around just floating from place to place without any stability or grounding in the Word of God. So it's a dangerous time. But there are also great opportunities. These are the last days. There are great opportunities because God has a great purpose and plan for his people in these last days. In fact, for all that I've learned and all that I think I know, I'm continually learning more. This is new, really, to all of us. If you will open your eyes, you'll see new things. You'll never get to that point, I don't believe, until possibly when we're face to face with Jesus, when it's all just so clear and bright and no shadow, where you just understand everything. I'm learning all of the time, and I'm learning some of the things I thought I knew, I didn't know so well, or things that I needed to know, I'm just now starting to pick up on. It's a process for us. And you may think you might have, you know, not much going for you, a little potential, but I'm telling you, in these last days, if we'll just show up and be willing to be used by God, we will have the greatest time of our life. But you have to show up, and you have to be willing, right? God will use us in big ways, and not just us. He'll use anyone who will believe, anyone who will believe. The faith life of each believer is unique. What I'm saying is in every faith life, there will be a unique manifestation of that faith. Think about the unique creativity of God. Think about, you know, just the human anatomy, fingerprints. You have fingerprints that are unique to you. We have a lot of things that are similar, right? We all have a head. Hallelujah. Need one of those. But you know, even within your head, you have eyes that are different. Your eyes can identify you. Just the pattern in your eyes can be different and unique just specifically to you. God is very creative. And aside from the physical aspects, your personality is unique to you. Again, we may have some similarities, but you are uniquely you. You are a unique creation. God has never created anything quite like you. Think about that. And because of your uniqueness, your faith will have a unique manifestation. Your faith is not going to look necessarily like my faith. We may have similarities. The way that your faith is expressed is not going to be the same as Pastor Ben's, which is one of the reasons why we, you know, oftentimes say, don't try and copy what somebody else is doing. Let God's Spirit move you and let your faith lead you in the direction that God has already appointed and created you for and uniquely gifted you for. If you just take a casual look at the book of Hebrews, the great hall of fame of faith, you will notice that our great faith heroes manifested their faith in various ways. We begin with Abel. Abel, his faith was manifested in giving. He came up with an offering that God approved, made his brother mad, created another whole situation, but that's how Abel's faith was manifested. We see it in the scriptures. Noah built an ark. Nobody else had done that, and he did it by faith, following after God. Abraham left his country, went to a foreign land, a new place. Hallelujah. Sarah, she had faith to conceive, even though she thought it silly at a moment. Joseph had faith to make his dreams come true. Each of these people had a unique manifestation of their faith. Each of the people here, if you will walk in faith, if you will allow God to use you in faith, you will see a different manifestation. And that's why everybody in the body is important. Because the way that your faith is going to manifest is probably needed by us in this body, and you may be the only person who would manifest that particular style, that particular grace. You are unique, and your faith will be unique. And it will be manifested, that unique faith manifested in unique ways to the God-given talent and personality and purpose that you were created with and for. Let's go back to Matthew 9 and read a little more here, starting in verse 27. It says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of God, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. These blind men had heard about the miracles that Jesus was performing. Right? You can see that in verse 26. They heard about Jesus and they were inspired to seek their own miracle. I tell you, we need to pay more attention to testimonies. And we need to be more sharing, more eager to share testimonies. Oftentimes I've heard Pastor Ben say, does anybody have a good word, something that they can testify about God's goodness in their life? And it's pretty silent. But I tell you, testimonies are important. Testimonies should inspire us. And you should make sure that you don't take testimonies for granted. Even if it doesn't seem like, you know, a fantastic, you know, person raised from the dead kind of testimony. I tell you what, God is working through those testimonies. We need to be open to the testimonies. Don't be ho-hum about somebody that shares the goodness of God in their lives and how things have happened that they can attribute to God's grace and mercy for them. So think about this. These men, they'd heard about Jesus. They heard the testimonies. Think about the task that it must have been for these guys to pursue their miracle. I mean, they were blind. That right there is going to be a hindrance. They're probably not going to be ushered to the front of the crowd. They're probably going to have to fight their way to Jesus just to get close to him because of the throngs of people. Again, blind. It's not going to be easy for them. I tell you, most people wouldn't have even tried. They would have just known, well, I can hear the crowds. I can't see them. I can hear them. I can, you know, just sense the throngs of people going by. We'll never be able to make it through that crowd. We'll never be able to get this healing that we desire. Most people would have just given up. These guys persisted. They moved on. They went to Jesus to ask for a healing, and interestingly enough, Jesus kind of turned it around and questioned them. Notice, he didn't ask them here. He said, do you believe that I am able to do this? Jesus did not ask them if they were worthy. Jesus did not ask them if they had prayed enough that day. Those are questions the devil will ask you. How many of you can testify, hey, there were times when I just felt I wasn't worthy to receive what God might have for me. I hadn't prayed. I hadn't done anything. Jesus didn't qualify whether their healing was available if they had fulfilled some sort of requirement beforehand, did he? Now, again, I'm not discounting the importance of living a righteous life and having a vibrant prayer life. Those are important, and I'm pretty confident it's a whole lot easier to walk in faith when you are living a righteous life and you have a vibrant prayer life. But that wasn't a qualification that Jesus put on this healing for these blind men. Jesus wasn't going to give them a miracle based on their deserving it. And he's not going to give me a miracle based on my deserving it. Or you, because in reality, none of us deserve it. So if we can kind of get past that, it will help our faith. If we can get past all of the doubts and all of the things that we think might hinder what's going to take place, what Jesus is asking simply is, do you think I'm able to do this? Their answer, yes, Lord. That, yes, Lord, has got to be probably the greatest statement of faith that we could have. Yes, Lord. Jesus directed them in their thinking back to their own faith. Their miracle was dependent upon faith. It wasn't dependent on Jesus having pity for them and their condition. It wasn't dependent on that great need. It wasn't dependent on their goodness. It wasn't dependent on their desperation. If I were them in that situation, I think I'd feel pretty desperate. I want to get this. No. And you know, I think we're conditioned primarily through religion to think that need should be the basis of God's help. God blesses those who need to be blessed. It's not necessarily so. I can tell you, I feel God has blessed me many times, all the time. And there are other people way more needy than me, way more desperate than me, that haven't received that blessing. You might wonder, well, is that fair? Well, I have a couple of answers for you. Number one, really doesn't matter if it's fair. It's the way it is. It's the way it is. You see, because number two, the fairness or equity of God is found in the fact that the potential for faith is available to everyone. to everyone. If you have a human spirit and you can come in contact with the Word of God, the potential for faith is there. Do you have a human spirit? Do you have access to the Word of God? You have all the potential you need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm wrapping it up. I'm going to finish up with three principles for faith. The negative principle, a neutral principle, and the positive. Starting with the negative. Isaiah 7:9 says, "If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established." The New International Version puts it this way. "If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all." If you don't stand in your faith, you're not firm about it, you won't stand at all. I tell you, God does not have a plan B for people who don't want to believe. Do you have to be a mass murderer to go to hell? What do you have to do? Just not believe. Just not believe. I mean, think about it. Let's say I'm as nice a person can be. I'm maybe the nicest guy in the world. Okay, I just paused there so someone could shout out, "Amen." Let's say that was me. But I don't believe. Where am I going? Heaven or hell? Down. See, God established provision for salvation. That is to believe on His Son. Outside of faith, there is no salvation. Outside of faith, there is no salvation. The neutral principle in Matthew 9:29, where we read, "According to your faith, it will be done to you." Is that good or is that bad? Well, kind of depends on your faith. That's why I say the faith life, the life that we are living, is according to our faith. The quality of our life is determined by our faith. You may have more faith than your life indicates. That can be the case for a lot of people. And all that means is you just simply haven't applied faith in your life. By that, I mean you haven't acted on it. There's an aspect of the faith life that says, if you believe, you will whatever. And oftentimes, we have that head knowledge and we have that understanding and we believe God can do anything and God will help, but we don't act upon it. And so oftentimes, we have more faith than what our life would indicate. I'm asking you or inspiring you, encouraging you to begin acting more on the faith that you already have. Because if you will believe, all things are possible. Remember, the variable is not with God, it is with us. It is according to our faith. It's not according to God's ability and His desire. God has all ability and God has desires for your goodness. Where is our faith? Let me give you the positive principle. Mark 9:23 is where we read, "All things are possible to him who believes." That means everything is possible. Heaven is possible. Healing is possible. Blessing is possible. All things are possible. And you know, sometimes it's so good you think, could that really be? Well, Jesus said it. Could it really be? It's in the red letters. Could it really be? Tell you, we don't have to convince God, right? We have to convince ourselves. And don't get confused. We're not talking about blind faith, right? Blind faith is putting faith in something without reason. Our reason is found in Scripture. We can't just come up with any old idea and decide that we're going to believe that God is going to fulfill that. No. And, you know, the one thing about this message is you could take this off a cliff somewhere. Okay, but this is the Wednesday night crowd. There's a good level of maturity here. And you also get a good deal of balance in the other messages that are preached. So I'm not afraid of this crowd taking this too far. But let's be sure that we don't leave it short. All right? We need to see with eyes of faith in order to be blind to doubt. We need to see with eyes of faith. These blind men just acted upon their faith. They, as Pastor Ben put it, they went to work. You know, he was talking about that Sunday. I thought that was such a great message. That, you know, you can be lazy, you can be idle, or you can get to work. These guys could have just sat on the side of the road and thought about how pitiful it was that they could not see. But they had it in their heart. They had faith to go for Jesus and the tenacity to carry it out. And then when they were asked that question, do you believe I can do this? They were enthusiastic and said, yes, Lord. So why they put in the effort? Sometimes I wonder about faith when people won't put in any effort. Anyway, we need to be sure that we are keeping our eyes in a faith direction. How many of you remember? Now, nobody here probably remembers. In the old days, they used to put blinders on horses. They still do for those who may have like a hack service in the city where they're taking people on rides through the carriage. And they'll have these little things right along the sides of their eyes so that they can't really see much other than what's straight ahead of them. I tell you, we need blinders on our eyes when it comes to faith so that we can keep our eyes focused on Jesus, keep our eyes focused on the prize, keep our eyes focused on those things that God has set for before us and not be so distracted by the worldly things that are around us or the fearful things that can come and attack us. We need that kind of clear direction in our faith. And when we hear the word of God, we need to gain understanding, and then we just need to go for it. Like I say, we need to act on it. So, let me encourage you. Let's be people who see where God is taking us, who understand that it's not all about sitting and waiting for things to happen. It's about us acting in response to God's prompting and the faith that we have that He is able. The blind saw that when they were blind, they saw somehow by faith that Jesus was able, and they received their sight. They received their miracle. Let's be people of faith. That faith is what is going to determine, by and large, the quality of our life. And I'm not just talking about the physical aspects. Oh, I have a nice home, and my family is fed well. There's a much more to life than just the physical. Amen? Father, I thank you for your words that inspire us to go beyond ourselves, to go beyond our fears, and to move in faith for the things that you desire to accomplish. Lord, not simply in our lives, but in this church and in this community and in everywhere that we can have influence. Lord, help us to see with eyes of faith and inspire us to move and act upon what we see. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I have faith to pray for people who may need something. If you have a need in your life, I'd be happy to pray with you, and Trish would be happy to pray with you, and Pastor Ben would be happy to pray with you, and Sean would be happy to pray with you, because we're people of faith here, right? And if you're a people of faith, then you'll say, yeah, do I believe Jesus can do it? Yeah. And it'll be done under your faith. Eh? All right. God bless you. You are dismissed, but by all means, hang out. fellowship a little bit and pray for one another. You know, if you sense a word for somebody else, by all means, this is a good place to share that.